Good afternoon, and thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio. On the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Coming up on the second hour of the show, J.J. Ferris, frontman, vocalist, and founding member of Slammin' Gladys. You might remember them from the late 70s. Well, they've reformed with the all-original lineup, and they've recorded a brand new album called Slammin' Gladys 2. Seems appropriate. We'll talk to J.J. coming up on the second hour, starting around 2 o'clock. But in just a few moments, we'll be joined live by a certifiable rock and roll legend, Steve Lukather. He is a co-founder and journeyman rocker. He was, he still is, with Toto, 40-plus years, founding member, guitarist, songwriter, and producer. He's also worked with a who's who of all different styles of music legends, including Michael Jackson and Miles Davis, to name just a few. He's got a brand new project out and a new album called I Found the Sun Again, from which songs today will be featured. Now, it'd be very easy for me to say, well, let's play Africa. Let's play Hold On. Let's play, some of the Toto hits. Toe the Line. Hold the Line, rather. But NPR Radio is not just about cranking out memories and history. Of course, we are about history, but we also like to support the new. And when it comes to someone like Steve Lukather, he is making some of the best music of his career and continually evolves as a player, as a writer, and as an artist. So let's play something right now from the new album, I Found the Sun Again, coming out in just a couple of weeks. This is Run to Me, and we'll run to the phone and get Steve on after this.
Sometimes the
You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges, and this program is Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. As I told you prior to playing that song after the headlines, that we have a certifiable rock and roll legend, a guy whose career I've been following for probably about 40 years. In fact, I first saw him in 1978 at the Park West when a little group came out called Toto, and they had a hit called Hold the Line. And I was in love with this band. I loved them, and I still do. They've still got great albums and singles that have hit us over the decades. But Steve has not sat still. Now, I could have easily played Hold the Line or Rosanna or Africa or Make Believe or, well, any of the great hits that Toto's given us. But NPR Radio is not just about history, although we do cover that. We're also about the future and the presence, and evolving artisans. And Steve Lukather is definitely one of those. Not only has he been a cornerstone of Toto for over four decades, he has worked with a who's who of incredible musicians, not just in rock and roll, but in all styles of music. He's been on this program before, but it's been a number of years, and we're going to welcome him now. That song you just heard is brand new. It's not even out yet. It's coming out February 26th off the album I Found the Sun Again on the Mascot label. And Steve, are you with us?
I am with you. Wow, what an intro. I can't follow up with that.
You have been a busy man over the decades, and I'm curious to find out what you've been doing, obviously, other than I Found the Sun Again during the COVID shutdown. But, you know, first of all, as I mentioned, I saw you guys in 78 at the Park West. The album had just come out, the first album. And
remember that show. I gasped my forehead, and the bass player, Hungate, bashed me in the head with his Fender bass that has the silver metal pegs. And it just did in my eyebrow, and I was, like, bleeding on stage for one of the sets.
Oh, man.
I think we did two nights, four sets or something like that. I remember that.
Yep.
Well, those were fun days.
Man. It was a showcase. The label was really putting money behind you and pushing you guys, and obviously you had the music and the talent to back it up, because all these years later, here we are talking.
Here we are. Who would have thought? 44 years later, you know?
Now, a few years ago, we also talked when you were doing some work with Larry Carlton on the No Substitutions, and we also talked when you did the work with Edgar Winner on The Odd Couple Live.
Oh, wow, man. Yeah, you're going in the Wayback Machine now.
Yeah. Now, it's been...
Yeah, those were fun days doing those Blue Note runs and stuff like that when that was happening, man. You know, now we can't go anywhere, but...
Right.
I always had a great time working with these legendary people that taught me and inspired me as a kid, you know.
Well,
I still carry all that with me now. You know?
Right. Well, last time I saw you live was at Ravinia in 2019 with Ringo's All-Star Band.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still with Ringo now. I saw him yesterday, actually.
How is that tour going? I mean, obviously not the tour, but how is the plans, I should say, not tour.
Well,
but.
I should say it's been the most wonderful experience in my life. In the last 9 years, I've been in the band, and we've become really great friends, you know, and he lives down the street. You know, we FaceTime all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a wonderful, wonderful man, you know. That's all I can tell you, and he's become a dear friend of mine. It's a great honor to have him. We wrote that song for his birthday, his 80th birthday, because we couldn't have a party for him.
Uh-huh.
So everybody wrote a song and stuff like that. Well, this one came out so good, and I got him to play on it. And I said, man, can I put this on my record? He said, yeah, please do. Because it's an oddball track. It's the only pop kind of song on the record, really.
Right.
That, you know, I mean, that's an homage to the Beatles, so it's all there, you know what I mean? Joseph Williams, David Page, and myself wrote that for him as a gift. And Joe and I just wrote a new song for him for his new EP that's coming out. It's going to be a single, so we're excited about that. And
excellent.
He's working on his record, which is absolutely brilliant. He's got a new single out today.
Oh, Joe, you're talking about,
Joe Williams. Wilma Fingerdoo. It's a little inside joke with his mom, who the song is about, and she's not with us anymore. It's a beautiful video with his daughter. So, I mean, check that out if you want. We're going out on tour together, and then that's how we're going to put the new Toto Dogs of Oz, you know, band together with a great rhythm section, and me and Joe and some of the guys that were in the last band, and a little fresh. There's been 15 versions of it, and we just needed to, you know, we went through some lawsuit stuff that was pretty brutal, but we got our percentage. David Page stands with us. I mean, he's still the leader of the band, but, you know, he can't tour medically, so he has to stay home. But he comes down and does musical direction, rehearsals and stuff, and he comes and sits in when we play in L.A. and stuff. But so Joe and I are just carrying on playing the music, keeping it alive, man. We're the only ones left to do it that want to do it and that are still alive to do it, so.
Right.
What the heck, there's tribute bands. We might as well go out and do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we're going to be able to incorporate our new solo music in with the Toto music, all the hits and all the deep cuts, and just have some new spice to add to the set list, play a couple new tunes off of our solo records and play all the rest of the stuff, so everybody wins here, you know?
Right. Now, your solo album and Joe's are both coming out February 26th.
Yeah.
And his is called Denizen Tenant, and we're going to have Joe on the show next week.
Oh, great. Well, then you'll be able to talk all about it.
Yeah.
One of the most talented, wonderful human beings I've ever known.
Now, how long has he been with Toto? He's been with you a while.
With Toto in the 80s, like when we had hits, Fahrenheit and Seventh One were big records for his multi-platinum all around the world. And he sang on a couple of number one hits for us around the world. They were like top 10 here or a little less, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because when our record was coming out, the record company president left. but anyway, that's a whole other story. But and then he's been with us for the last 10 years when we put the band back together, and his voice is stronger than it ever was because he went into TV film writing after he left the band in the late 80s, you know. And mm-hmm. I've known him since he was 14 years old. We've been friends. So during this lockdown, he's one of the few people that are allowed in my house because he's a single guy. He's got a three-month-old grandson. My 10-year-old son is autistic, so we don't play games with the virus. We all get tested together every week. And, you know, so we take that part seriously, but it gives us a lot of time to sit around and think of plans and stuff like that and think of ideas. And it was my idea to put the band, you know, it's on the same label. Let's put them out the same day with the same kind of album covers, like mugshots.
Right.
And just wink at everybody, you know what I mean?
Now, I understand.
Like, you know, like we're not dead. We're, you know, that version is over. It just died on its own. It ran its course, and things got a little weird, and people weren't having a good time, so.
Well, you know, the thing
all's
about.
All that ends well, you know what I mean? I love everybody. I don't have any bad feelings. It just got weird, that's all.
The thing about great bands is that they are living entities. They are always evolving in some cases, and a lot of times it's due to death and illness that people have to leave. But for the fans' sake and also for the music's sake, it's great when bands can still continue and not just live off their laurels but continue to make great new music.
Well, that's why Joe and I did solo records, because we didn't want to make a Toto record, because what is that now, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, if you put the two records together on shuffle, it's as close as you're ever going to get to one, being that we all played on each other's records, and David Page, Joe, and I commingled with both albums.
Mm-hmm.
Even though stylistically they're very different, but Toto albums are stylistically very different. So my stuff doesn't sound weird coming after his stuff. We've done the test, and it's like we kind of crack up and go, well, I mean, it doesn't sound out of place at all.
Right.
Because it still has a mojo on it that happens when we play. It's not really something I can tell you what it is. It's just when we play together, that's what happens.
Now, I understand you guys are going to be releasing them separately and as a package, which is kind of unique.
Yeah, hey, why not? A lot of people would want to buy both of them, so you get a little discount if you get them both. Maybe it's an incentive to hear. Maybe somebody likes Joe's music more than me and vice versa, and they're going to get a little taste of both, you know?
Now, with this album...
I think Toto fans will buy the set, you know?
With this album, you're going to be doing CD and digital, but you're also doing vinyl, which I'm happy about, because I have a couple of record stores.
Yeah, I just got my copy of a real record. I held it up, and I said, wow, this is what it used to feel like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I remember my first record came out on 8-track, so I've been around the block a few times.
You're dating this now.
Yep.
I remember
that.
That's
the way life is, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's colored vinyl. As I understand, it's going to be like a color swirl. Is that correct?
Oh, well, no, swirl. I think mine's blue. I don't know what difference that makes. I think that's just aesthetics. I mean, I think the vinyl itself is high quality. You know, that's because they made it for hi-fi people. That's why they split it into a double album, so they can get the best quality audio on there.
Right, yeah, because the wider the grooves, the more music you can shove into those grooves, and it replicates better.
Yeah, so, I mean, the bottom end, that sweet analog thing comes through.
Now, that said, are you guys recording analog, or are you still working digital?
Well, we might as well of them. Whoa! Okay, so that's how my tree fell over. It was bad. Heavy wind going on here up here.
Hmm.
Hollywood Hills. Wow, that's a drag. Anyway, where was I?
Oh, we were just talking about if you recorded analog or if you were recording digital.
Well, we everything live, solos and everything. I mean, everything but the vocal. I overdubbed the lead vocal and a couple of small overdubs after we got the track, and there was no rehearsals, no click tracks, no nothing. So we used the Pro Tools as a tape machine, really. And it's great to use it to manipulate and, you know, call back mixes and stuff like that. But we didn't use it as a tool to make a record, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was a gigantic hi-fi tape recorder. So that's what I was going for, to try to make a record like early 70s style in 2020. And we were able to do it a month before lockdown. We were all live in the studio, just playing in the same room, jamming live in the studio.
Wow, your timing was perfect then.
Yeah, it was like unbelievably perfect, you know. I mean, it would have been harder to make this kind of music encumbered, you know.
Right. Tell me about Mascot. Is that your label? Because it seems like your projects and even Trev's album is going to be coming out on that.
Well, I mean, it's my favorite label. I mean, I talked to the president of the label on the phone. She zoomed with him yesterday morning. I mean, there's no other labels like this. It's not a major, but it's not an indie. It's in between. They're really growing, and they've really got a great reach, and they're really musician-friendly, and they're honest, straight-up people that you can get on the phone. It's not a corporate nightmare. You get a relationship with somebody, and then they get fired the next day. You know?
Right. That happens a lot.
I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. You develop this great relationship that's working, and all of a sudden, midstream, they're just gone one day. No warning or anything.
Right.
That's hard, and this label doesn't like that, you know?
Right.
Honest people that pay and are fucking, they care about the music, they take your calls, they take the input, and they do what they can. It's hard to sell this shit these days, you know?
Right.
A lot of music out there, and, you know, Spotify's fine and dandy, but it doesn't pay much, you know?
Yeah. Why this time to release, and obviously it was before COVID, so it wasn't a COVID-related thing, but why this decision to release another solo album at this point? It'd been a number of years. I think Transition was your last.
I was busy with Toto and Ringo. I mean, I was on the road 220-some-odd days a year.
Okay.
And so we were making Toto music at the time, too, so I was in that headspace. I didn't have any time for it, and I didn't have my head in it. And then when I knew that that version of the band was going to end, I already had a record deal ready, and I was going, I'm going to do one. It's time to do one. What am I going to do? So I picked some cool cover tunes that I thought, well, this is the era that I want to cop from. You know what I mean?
Right.
The energy that I want to get. So I wrote music being inspired by that, because those were all homage to the people that really inspired me, and some are my friends, you know.
Right. Well, two of my favorite guitar players of all time, not the ones you normally think of on the Guitar Hero list, is Ronnie Montrose and Robin Trower.
I love them both.
Amazing. And your treatment of Bridge of Sighs on this, which we'll close the show with.
Great. Because
it's a long one, so I want to make sure we have time to talk before that. But it's incredible, because you've given it your own touch, your treatment of that song. I can't imagine Robin not being thrilled to hear that version. Have you talked with him? Have you sent it to him?
No, I haven't talked to him because I don't really know him, but we have a mutual friend between us, and he knows that I did it, and I said it's a great homage and out of respect and all that, because I love the song, always have.
Yeah, he's...
And I did it for that, but it's obvious that we both love Hendrix, so there's always a little bit of that and everything, you know?
Right, right.
And it was just a vehicle. I love the song, but I also think it's a great vehicle to jam in the studio with. You know, I wanted to capture that sort of like Voodoo Child live in the studio thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'll never be that, but you know what I mean? I mean, just to have fun with the concept of it, you know?
Now
I wanted to see if I could do it all live and not fix my solos and not slick it all out, you know? This is real, and it sounds different because nobody makes records like this anymore.
Right.
Or very few.
What was the hardest part of working that way?
Nothing. It was the easiest thing I've ever done. It was done in 8 days. Done. That's what I mean. I had to sit on it for a year before it comes out, you know?
Right. Now, was that because of COVID? Would this have been out earlier?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, we had big plans, tours booked, and all kinds of shit, and it just ran into a brick wall at 1,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
And now we're all, you know, I know parts of my house that never existed, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it kind of drives you crazy, you know?
Right. So are you at this point able to plan any kind of live performances?
We keep planning. This keeps getting canceled or moved, but, you know, we're kind of ahead of the curve. And because Toto left on a real high, we'll be able to pick up where we left off and just add our solo music to it. So we really, it's a win-win for all of us, really.
Right.
Well, let's at the same time, we're going to find the health of our minds. Excuse my French. Sorry about that. We're going out of our minds, sitting, you know, sitting in the house.
Right. Let's play the title track, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk one final time, and then we'll get into Bridge of Sighs. But let's do I Found the Sun Again. Again, this is new music coming out February 26th. Title track, Steve Lukather. Stay with us. We'll be back in about five.
Must have heard my prayer because I found you.
Title track, I Found the Sun Again. Very positive, uplifting tune. Even though it's got kind of that mellowness going on with it. Steve Lukather.
Hey, man.
I love that tune. That is...
Thank you. That's kind of like my... how do I describe it? Pink Floyd meets Christopher Cross and Joni Mitchell on acid.
I love that description.
I mean, you know, there's a little Def Leppard wink in there, too. So mm-hmm. But he was Rick Allen was my neighbor for 10 years. I mean, you know, I love those guys. Phil sang on my last record. I love Def Leppard. So that's a great chord, and everybody's used it in one way or another. I just made a little jam out of this. You know what I mean?
Right. So were these songs written with this album in mind? Because the sequencing works so well on it.
All the original material is written for this album. As a matter of fact, about 3 weeks before the album, I'm like, oh, God, I got to write songs for my record. I was in Big Sur with my girlfriend before lockdown era.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, my God, it's January. I got to go in the studio next month. I just got these cover tunes. I got to... And so I had to write something really quickly. So I worked well under pressure, and this is what came out. I had the help with Jeff Babko, the keyboard player who worked with me, along with David Tate, who played keyboards on the record, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Lynch from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Joe Williams helped me with words. So I was able to finish everything quickly and get in the studio and record it. I like the freshness of it. No rehearsals, no demos or nothing like that. Let's just do it. Put something down on the paper for everybody to look at. And mostly it's all improvisation, but they had a roadmap and a few key licks written in here and there because I just got guys that know how to do that. That's mm-hmm. how we used to do it in the old days. And I wanted to see if we could do it live solos and not fix anything. Like, you really had to commit like you're doing an old Miles Davis record or something. And then I overdubbed the vocals because that was just too much of a load to carry on.
Right.
And once I overdubbed one or two little guitar parts right after the thing, so I mean, everything was a song a day, ready to mix. I wanted to keep that, and we were able to capture that. And everybody brought their best game. The musicians are fantastic. So, I mean, everybody played all that stuff live, man. It was amazing. Now, you listen to a playback, you go, that's the record without the vocals, you know?
So one rehearsal live, and then you recorded. That was it.
Yeah, everybody ran the chart once, and take two was the whole album.
Wow, that's amazing. It's
and
good.
I just laughed at the end of it and go, I've been working way too hard all these years.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Toto was infamous for our big productions, which would take months to do. You know?
Right.
I just wanted to, after doing that for so long, I wanted to do the opposite. You know, nobody makes records like this anymore. I mean, it's not like the world's waiting for me and Justin Bieber to team up for our new hit single, you know.
So this sounds like the way you're going to work coming up in the future now.
Well, yeah, Joseph Williams makes these really beautifully Peter Gabriel produced like records, you know. So you get the best of both worlds, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love both ways. This is the way I see myself as an older man doing records, if, you know, because records are what they are. They're a calling card to play live, and these songs will really come across live, you know. Plus, I get to play the hits, so we'll get to play all the big buildings again and everything. So,
right.
You know, so it's a win-win for us. You know, I see this as only positive. I'm very excited about it. Both Joe and I are.
You have...
We planned this out like this.
So. Okay. You have, obviously, you're talking about the musician you're working with now. You have always had stellar players in your corner and in your camp, no matter what project you were on.
Yeah, I'm lucky that way. I got spoiled early on when Jeff Beccaro, your drummer, and David Page is your keyboard player and a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're pulled into a band of that stature, I mean, Jeff was in Steely Dan. We were in high school, so we knew how high the bar was. And we all studied and worked really hard to try to attain close to that bar so that we could get in the club and play and be a session guy and make records. And I got to do both. There's not too many people that get to do both, have a session career and be in a, you know, a famous rock band.
Okay. We have the seed hasn't fallen too far from the tree. So let's talk about your son for a minute, and we're going to play a song from him. Trev has been playing guitar for a while.
Oh, and... yeah, man. No, I've been dragging him to studios since he was born, you know what I mean? And then I took him on the road when he was 12, and, you know, he could play a little bit, so I dragged him on stage to play, and he got the little taste of the 10,000 people screaming for him, and then, you know, and he just got the bug, man. He started writing his own material. He was young, and he discovered his own way to play, and he's just been working so hard. He's producing records right now for other artists. His album LeVar is coming out in May, I believe. They got their single drop, right. Automatic. I couldn't be more proud.
And
if this is not a hit,
this is the single right now. We're bringing it up under you. We're going to play it. This is Automatic. We'll be back with Steve a final time. LeVar, new music. That's Trevor Lukather, son of Steve, and that's coming out in May, I believe. Also,
yeah, the single drop is LeVar.
LeVar, okay.
Yeah, LeVar, some permutation of all their names or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, and that's also on the mascot
name.
Label.
I'm in a band called Toto. If anything's funnier than that, tell me. You know.
Right. Right. Well, we're going to close out with Bridge of Sighs, as I mentioned. Steve, is there anything else that you would like to let us know about as far as a project? You also have a brand new book that came out about a year ago.
There was a live stream with the new Toto band, the Dogs of Oz thing we're doing. That's going to come out in the summertime due to popular demand. So we'll have a little something to tease you guys with the new band, and then we'll have new music from our albums, and then hopefully, if the vaccine works for everybody, everybody's good and takes it, and we can go back to work again, maybe, hopefully, by the end of the year or beginning of next year.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We'll see you.
I mean, being realistic, you know.
We'll see you and Joe out together, and then we'll see you with Ringo's band, hopefully, too soon.
You will. I mean, Ringo, he's stuck with me for life. He knows that.
All right.
All right, my brother. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I accidentally stepped on my toe, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
My father was a Marine when he was 16. What can I say?
Okay. All right.
I'll see you later.
All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye. Keep up with Steve at stevelukather.com and all the fun stuff he's involved with, the history, the future. There's clips. There's links. And Lavara is the name of the band from Trevor, his son. And they also have a Facebook page out there. And keep up with them. There's some great music coming out of these guys. And we're going to have Joe Williams, who is the lead singer of Toto. And his partner in crime is none other than Steve Lukather. So we're going to hear that companion piece, if you will, his album Denizen Tenet, next week. And we'll be talking with Joe about all that. So stay with us. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be talking to JJ from Slammin' Gladys. We'll be playing new music from them as well. But right now, here is Robin Trower's Bridge of Sighs interpreted and given a great treatment by guitarist, vocalist Steve Lukather. Check it out. Crossing the Bridge of Sighs, classic Robin Trower in the hands of Steve Lukather, co-founding member, guitarist, songwriter, producer with Toto. He's got so many projects out there. He has played with a who's who of everyone. Did you know he played on Michael Jackson's Thriller album? He's played with everybody. This guy has been a session player. He's been with Ringo's All-Star Band for a number of years and tours. As he mentioned, he's going to be co-writing a song, possibly playing. I don't remember if he said he was playing on it or not, on Ringo's new EP that's coming out. So we have a talented guy there, and he's constantly busy with everybody. Steve Lukather. I haven't talked to him in a number of years, and it was refreshing to kind of catch up, and especially after seeing him in 2019 out with Ringo at Ravinia. What a great show that was. Ringo's. Oh, have you ever seen Ringo, Jose? As far as the All-Star Tours?
I haven't seen him in person, but I've seen him in videos and numerous interviews and stuff.
He's always got the best of the best.
He's a cool cat, always wearing those shades.
Those shades,
and having
the
facial hair.
He gets by with a little help from his friends. That is true. And good to see that that Steve's son, Trevor, Trevor Lukather, is out there. LaVara, I stand corrected, that was LaVar, but it's LaVara, their first album. Also coming out on Mascot Records, and that's going to be sometime in May. And they have, if you Google LaVara, LeVara, you will come across some of their videos on YouTube. And we're going to play another song just because these guys are coming out and we have the opportunity to play it today. So I want to do this. It's a song called Chameleon. It's one from the forthcoming LaVara album. And what's interesting, I guess when your dad's... a cool dude and a big shot in the music business, you have some access to people. They actually have Steve Perry of Journey singing background on this song. And
I thought he retired.
I thought he retired too. But Steve is back, and he's singing background and some vocal parts, some group vocals in there. If you watch the video, you don't see Steve, but you'll hear his voice, who you will see at 3 minutes and 6 seconds into the clip on the song Chameleon. If you go to LaVara on YouTube and you watch Chameleon, you'll see all these heads floating by, all these random people. And at 3 minutes and 6 seconds, you'll see his dad, Steve Lukather, who we just had on the show. And you freeze it, and he's just looking at you. So we're going to play this because this is a promising band that I know we're going to hear a lot of. A trio, a power trio, if you will. This is Chameleon LaVara featuring Trev Lukather. Check it out. Chameleon. Lavara. That's the name of the new group. Power trio, young guys, all probably late 20s, early 30s. Trev Lukather in the band, lead guitar player there, only guitar player, I believe, and songwriter. And if you look at the video for that, it's only released on video on YouTube right now. They've got a couple of songs up there. Automatic, which we played per his dad's request. There's another song called Heaven Knows. And then Chameleon, which features Steve Perry from Journey singing with him. And Steve Lukather, if you freeze frame it at 3:06 on the clip for Chameleon, you'll see Steve in there as well. So we're going to bid farewell to the Lukather family. I want to remind everybody that if you go to stevelukather.com, you'll be able to keep up with the new album, the new Toto. There's a new lineup of Toto that is out there that's going to be touring again and doing all kinds of fun stuff. They just did that live virtual concert, and I guess that's going to be reissued and released in 2021, according to Steve. So all the news that you need on Steve Lukather will be at stevelukather.com, and you can check out Lavara on Facebook. They don't have a page, I don't think, that I can find.